are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, as promised, we're going to talk all about tomorrow's non-tender deadline. So we're going to discuss what the non-tender deadline even is, why it's different this year potentially, how does it affect the Giants, and then what is the big picture in the rest of the league. So all of that coming up next, but first a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of Fangraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. But jumping into the discussion about the non-tender deadline. So the way the non-tender deadline works is essentially that players who have more than 3 years of service time but less than six are arbitration eligible. For the first 3 years, they can control the player unless they're a super two, but that's a topic for another day, at league minimum salaries. Then there's 3 years of arbitration, then the player reaches free agency. And these arbitration salaries are not like set in stone. The way it works is the non-tender deadline is now, it's in early December. If teams tender contracts to those players, it means they agree to have them under contract for the 2021 season, for the next season. However, it doesn't mean they've settled on a salary. And then early the next year, there's a deadline for the team to submit a figure that they think the player is worth, and the player must also submit a figure that they think they're worth. And they're more than welcome to agree on something in the middle or just settle on whatever salary. But if they don't agree, they actually have to go into a physical arbitration hearing where this panel of people who are not baseball experts decide which of those two salaries will be the player's salary for that season. So it's a really odd process. And the Giants have not actually gone to an arbitration hearing in a long time. Under Farhan Zaidi, they've pretty much exclusively either non-tendered players at the deadline in early December, or they've agreed to what is known as a pre-tender contract, basically avoiding the process altogether by agreeing to a contract at the non-tender deadline. So they've done this with pretty much all of their players. I think the only exception was Tyler Anderson last year. They non-tendered him and then signed him the next day. That's actually not really an exception because they non-tendered him, but it didn't mean they didn't want him back. They ended up just signing him the next day as a free agent. So it's a little bit complicated, but what I want to read to you is the MLB Trade Rumors explanation for their projections, because they're pretty good at estimating what player salaries will be through this process, whether it goes to arbitration or not, whether it's decided in arbitration or what the teams ultimately agree to outside of arbitration. So I'm just going to read you a couple of paragraphs from their write-up, which was in October, about this process. They say, quote, "In the baseball industry, teams and agents determine arbitration salaries by identifying comparable players, a method I hope to illustrate with examples later this winter. To project the entire arbitration class in this way would take a massive amount of time and effort. So, Matt Swartz has developed an algorithm to project arbitration salaries that looks at the player's playing time, position, role, and performance statistics while accounting for inflation. The performance of comparable players matters, but our system is not directly selecting comps for each individual player. As a disclaimer, I should note that even in a normal year, our projections are not to be used as a scorecard for the agent and team on an individual player level. A player doing better or worse than our projection isn't indicative of anything. Our arbitration projections are created as a tool for our readers to get a general idea of a team's payroll situation, This winter, those involved in the process do not know how arbitration will account for the 60-game season, nor is there an agreement in place between MLB and the MLBPA on how to address it. Many cases may end up getting resolved in a hearing room. To reflect that uncertainty, we're providing three projections for each player. Method 1. Applies model directly with actual statistics from the 60-game season. Method 2. Extrapolates all counting stats to would-be 162-game totals. One home run becomes 2.7 home runs. Method 3. For non-first-time eligibles, finds the raise they'd get in a 162-game season, then gives them 37% of that raise. All right, end quote. If you found that a little bit complicated and wordy, you're not alone. I've been staring at these three methods all morning, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what each one means. The second one, where they're just extrapolating counting stats, is really easy for me to understand. If someone hit 10 home runs this year, method two is kind of predicting what their salary would be as if they hit 27 home runs. Method one, I think, is just taking what they actually did this season into their model as if it was 162 games. So I think that's going to penalize players a lot, as if 10 home runs that they hit in a 60-game season was 10 home runs in 162 games. Method three just finds the raise they'd normally get and then gives them the fraction of that raise equal to the fraction of 60 games out of 162 games. So I still think I'm making that sound complicated, because it is. But all of that was to set up what I'm going to talk about next, which is that these guys at MLB Trade Rumors have looked at every single arbitration eligible player, including, of course, the 9 for the Giants, and given three numbers as estimates as to what they think their salaries will ultimately be in 2021 if they're tendered contracts. And also, importantly, if the teams don't think the players are worth that much, that is what leads to non-tenders. It's basically teams saying, we think you're going to be able to earn this much if the process goes through all the way to the end. We don't think you're worth that much. We don't want to have to risk paying you that, so we're just going to set you loose. And this year, more than any other year in recent memory, there's probably going to be a lot of non-tenders, because teams' valuations have changed because they lost so much money this season. So a player that may have been worth $18 million under normal circumstances, maybe teams are valuing those players at $12 million. And that may not even be the best example. It may be the mid-tier players, guys supposed to earn like $5 or $6 million. Teams now think they're worth like $2 million. They just don't want to pay for mid-tier players, especially when now the market could be flooded with non-tenders. So a bunch of new mid-tier players could be released into free agency that was already going to be tough on mid-tier players. So we'll talk more about that. It's kind of a huge deal. That's why this deadline is so important. We'll talk about that next. But first, all right, as promised, we're going to continue this conversation about arbitration. I know it was a little bit complicated and wordy, but I promise you it ultimately has a really significant point. So I want to continue what we were just talking about, which is that this non-tender deadline is so important because the free agent market was already frigid, and it was predicted to be especially frigid for mid-tier players. The assumption is that players at the top, the upper class of free agents, should be able to still do well for themselves. George Springer, Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto. We saw that the Dodgers, even once they knew what was going on with the pandemic, signed Mookie Betts to a mega deal. So those players should be fine, but it's everybody else that we're worried about. And so what's so dangerous potentially for players with this non-tender deadline is that a lot of players who are mid-tier, teams may say, look, we don't think you're worth that. You may have been worth it before, but we've got you slightly below that now, so we're just going to non-tender you. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because they may think other teams are going to non-tender all of these mid-tier players, so we're going to have more mid-tier players to choose from in free agency, so we're going to non-tender our own mid-tier free agents. So that's the risk here for players. And so this deadline is going to tell us a lot. It's also going to tell us a lot if there are some teams that simply, at least publicly, are going to say we can't afford to be spending nearly as much money as we spent in 2020. So like the Cubs, for example, they've been saying that they have no payroll flexibility. They've got to cut payroll. Are they going to non-tender a Chris Bryant, who's projected to earn roughly $18 million through this process? If they simply feel like they can't afford that, would they just non-tender him? I don't think so, because they could just tender him a contract, try to trade him afterwards, or they could try to trade him and then cut him later, and then they actually only have to pay him a fraction of the salary they ultimately agree to prior to spring training. So anyway, it's a little bit complicated, but I want to shift our attention to the Giants, because they have 9 arbitration eligible players. It's a lot. Sometimes teams have very few, if not none at times. But the Giants arbitration eligible players are Daniel Robertson, Tyler Anderson, Alex Dickerson, Harleen Garcia, Trevor Gott, Reyes Maranta, Wandy Peralta, Darren Ruff, Austin Slater, and Donovan Solano. And as I look at this list, that's actually 10 players. So they write 9, but that's 10. So I think everywhere I've looked, everybody's writing that they have 9, but that's just because they're reading this number 9 and there's actually 10 players here. So instead of looking one by one through these projections for what the salary will be, I'm just going to give the average. I don't think that the second number makes a lot of sense. To extrapolate it out over 162, it's possible that an arbitration panel might succumb to that argument. But as we know, in baseball, you can't say that what someone did over 60 games would have necessarily translated over 162. So as I look through the numbers, the outlier seems to be the middle one. However, I think it's safe to just average the 3 numbers. That might be the best way to do this. So one by one, in order of how many years are left for the player in arbitration, we've got Donovan Solano projected at about $3 million when we average them. And this will be his last year of arbitration eligibility, meaning he's a free agent after the 2021 season. So to me, this is a no-brainer. He's not going to be non-tendered. In every one of these cases, it is possible that they could agree to a figure prior to the non-tender deadline. And if that happens, I would expect these numbers to be less than the projection here, because these players do not want to enter the free agent market. Although Solano might be an exception. He's had a couple of really nice seasons, and so he has some leverage. Number 2 is Tyler Anderson, who's also entering his last year of arbitration eligibility. The average of the 3 figures is $3.35 million. And this is the case that I think is the most interesting. A lot of people have written that Tyler Anderson is a non-tender candidate, and I suppose that he is, but do the Giants really want to add even more uncertainty to their starting rotation, where they only have really Kevin Gausman and Johnny Cueto as locks in the rotation? Logan Webb did not do very well this season, and there's questions about whether he should just be given a rotation spot. Tyler Beede is coming back from Tommy John surgery. Johnny Cueto had a 5.40 ERA, the worst of his career, and I believe the worst among qualified National League starters. So you've got 2 pitchers at the top, and one of them is arguably a 5th starter now. And so do you want to just bring back what Tyler Anderson represents, which is just a solid mid-rotation innings eater, or back of the rotation, but a major league pitcher? Coming, you know, he was coming back from knee surgery, so I would venture to say the further he moves away from that surgery, the better he may be, because his velocity was down a little bit, strikeouts were down. I would wager that those will probably come back up to an extent in 2021. So that is why, for like this average even, I might not want to take the chance of non-tendering him. However, I do think that figure is a little bit high. And as I said earlier, players do not want to be released into free agency, and Tyler Anderson is exactly that type of player. He's not a star, certainly. He's a mid-tier player, even a lower-end regular-type player. And so if he doesn't want to be released into free agency, the Giants have a lot of leverage here to say, look, we want to bring you back, but we think that figure is too high. And, you know, the teams aren't using these MLB trade rumors figures. Like the explanation said, arbitration is based on comparable players. So anyway, the agent has an idea, the team has an idea. Anderson might want around $4 million, but to me, the Giants, they're going to try to come in closer to $2 million here. In 2020, the Giants non-tendered Tyler Anderson and ended up signing him for $1.775 million the next day. So I could see like $2.5 million or even just $2.25 million, a small raise as opposed to a big raise after what he did this year with the down strikeout rate, the down velocity, and the fact that he doesn't probably want to re-enter the free agent market. So he's the most interesting case, and finally tomorrow we're going to get some kind of answer. If Anderson is demanding upwards of $3 million, I could see the Giants non-tendering him. A lot of possibilities, and there are several more arbitration-eligible players. We'll have to get back to this discussion tomorrow as we've run out of time. We'll talk about Alex Dickerson, several Giants relievers on this list. Darren Ruff is a very interesting case. Austin Slater is also arbitration eligible after a monster season. So come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's the deadline. We're going to continue this conversation, look more at possible non-tender candidates in baseball. And then on Thursday after the deadline, we'll talk all about the fallout. So be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. If you like this show, please consider rating it and or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. Thank you so much. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.